Okay, let's get started here. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Randolph Shepherd Vengeance of California luncheon. We're all happy that you are here. Some of you have traveled from Sacramento, which we really appreciate. That's a good 2.5 hour drive. And I'm going to steal something that I learned last night from an old pro, and I'm going to do a surprise panel. But I'm going to. So it'll be a surprise. So we'll get to that in a minute. Right now, we're going to have either Gina or Hazel go around, to introduce yourselves at each table. By the way, I want to thank Gina and Hazel and Lynn for helping out placing people around here. Okay.
I get to start. Thank you. Mitch Pomeranz, American Council.
Oops, you cut me in.
Yeah.
That's Mitch.
You know who I am.
Well, let's hope this thing works.
Donna Pomeranz, Second Vice President, California Council of the Blind.
Okay, Joe.
Joe Murphy, vendor, Turlock Rest Stop, 100 miles north of here.
Rachel Murphy, Joe Murphy's wife.
Yay, Rachel!
Sandy Brown, Andy Brown's wife.
Oh, Andy Brown, I've got the Wesley Rest Area and Dual Vocational Institute.
I have to applaud all the wives. Go ahead, Tom.
Tom Evans, I've got a Bulldoze location and Coalinga State Hospital taking care of the sexual predators for you.
What are you feeding them, Tom? Tony Candela, Deputy Director of Specialized Services, DOR, and we have the BEP program in my division.
Okay, welcome, Tony. Here you go, Kevin.
Kevin Berkery, I'm Artis Basin's husband.
Oh, we have to yay the husband.
Yay, husband.
I'm Artis Basin, and I'm from Burbank, California. And I'm on the RSVA National Board. I'm the secretary.
Yes. Yay, Artis. Okay.
Jeff Tom, President, California Council of the Blind.
Yay.
There's Jeff.
Patty Davis, free ticket winner.
Yay. Oh.
There you go. Kathy Skivers, immediate past president, CCB.
The old pro. It takes one to know one, kids.
Daryl Skivers, Davy Chapter.
Eric Skivers, Baby Chapter.
Joseph Lopez, San Diego Braille Club.
This is Joni Patchy, and I have the two dry stands at EDD Capitol Mall in Sacramento.
And Joni.
I'm Paul Patchy, president of ACB Capital Chapter, and also a vendor with the Gold Run Rest Area, such as it is.
What about the machines, Tony?
Linker, Defense Language Institute, Monterey.
Lynn Linker, Tom Linker, wife.
Yay for the wife!
Yay!
I had to do that.
Yeah. We know.
Okay.
Jerry Gann, vendor, Vending Route Fresno. Mute.
And his wife isn't here because they've got visiting relatives today. But we can applaud that.
Willie Shoemaker, I probably came the farthest. My location's City Hall Cafe here in Fresno, 4 blocks away.
Thanks for coming such a long way.
Yeah, yay, Mary Lou. Okay, Gary?
Gary Machado, Modesto.
Okay, Roger?
Roger Hood. I'm at C.H. Warlow.
Suzanne Hood, vendor's wife of 30 plus years.
You need a hand and a half.
She graduated from the Vendor Wives College, got her PhD. You know, when Roy graduated from college, I earned my PhD literally, and they gave me a big certificate that said, put hubby through, and it was my PhD. So, David, back to you. Oh, we didn't introduce
Thank you all for coming, and we really appreciate y'all being here.
Didn't introduce him, Roy, but he's going to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, my surprise panel is going to be a few people here. And what I'd like to do is to have you guys kind of like give a very brief description of your relationship with our program and how you feel about our program. And I'm going to start off with Kathy Skybers.
I've got a mic.
Okay. Kathy has been a wonderful friend of the vendors for many, many, many years. And, you know, last night here at the CCB meeting, Kathy presented a panel of speakers that spoke about the history of CCB and how it started here at Fresno in 1934. It's just a tremendous amount of history, and Kathy has been very much involved in legislation and getting a lot of things through to help the blind community. And it seems like now with the recession and with the change of philosophy in this country, it appeared that we seem to be regressing rather than progressing. So with this depressed time, we need to really step up and become Kathy Skivers or the people that were there in the past, Derwood McDaniel and so many others that have really dedicated their lives in getting bills and getting regulation that would help the blind vendors as well as blind people in general. So anyway, let me turn it over to Kathy, and then I have several other surprise guests.
It's going to be the shortest thing you've ever heard out of me, I think. I have known vendors personally, been my personal friends like Joe Smith and many, many others. And for years and years, we have fought for the vending program. For years and years, people have tried to take this vending program away from us and open up to other groups. They're trying it again. And we didn't let them do it before, and I think we better not let them do it now. And we probably, if we all work together, can stop that because we're on to them. They've been trying it for so many years that by now we ought to have a little bit about their strategy, and our strategy has always been better than theirs. And that's it for me.
Thank you,
Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, now my second guest speaker, and of course this is all a surprise to them, you know. What? Oh, yeah. This is all a surprise for them. And my second guest surprise speaker will be Jeff Tom. He's the president of CCB, and he has been also a tremendous friend of our RSVC, our Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, extremely supportive. So, Jeff, would you please say a few words?
Sure. I'm a man of few words, so I'll try to say a few more than that. Paul Patchy is here too. Heckle. You know, in a word, heckle. You know, the time I think for action is now. The program is at a crossroads, and it's not just because others are trying to horn in on the program nationally, as well as in California. I think the biggest threat to the program may not even be that, although it is a large threat. I think the biggest threat to the program is that it needs to make itself become known as being as important as it was when Mr. Randolph, Jennings,
Randolph,
yes, back in 1936 passed it. It appears to have become an anachronism to many, and yet it isn't. And so this program, if it is going to save itself, has to market itself, has to make people understand how important it really can be to employ blind and visually impaired entrepreneurs. And then we have to go after the community, the state government in California, to make sure that we get all that this program deserves. It'll happen if two things happen. It'll happen if the vendors coalesce and approach this in a spirit that things have to get done immediately, and it will happen if the vendors seek to work with other groups, and especially the organized blind. Together, vendors and the organized blind can do a lot. You can do a lot for us, by the way, in many other issues. It is a two-way street. You can help us in so many ways, but we can also help you. And if we're going to save this program, the time for action is now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay, my third guest speaker is going to be Mitch Pomerantz. And he is also a good friend of the Randolph Sheffield Vendors of California, as well as the Randolph Sheffield Vendors of America. And Mitch, you just can't believe how supportive he is. So, Mitch, would you say a few words, please?
Sure. Why did I have this feeling when you said panel and surprise? I expressed some of my concerns yesterday afternoon with when Tony Candela was up at the podium. And I said then I didn't want to engage in a debate. But with all due respect, Tony, I didn't find your answer particularly satisfactory. The fact of the matter is that we have heard the same statements from different officials of the Department of Rehabilitation for as long as I've been in this organization, and as I said last night, this is 37 years. What I've not seen is commitment. The reality is that you can talk about having facilities, having cafeterias and stands that meet certain criteria. But unless there is an aggressive effort to go out, recruit those facilities, talk to county and city building officials, actually advocate strongly on behalf of vendors whose program and facility is being threatened, what we have is nothing short of lip service. And I will wait and I will see whether the words get translated into actions. They're not around the country in most places. As I said, I visited, I think, six states this year, and I have gone out of my way to speak with vendors at every state convention that I visited, and I hear the same story. And unless we see change, unless officials in rehabilitation agencies around the country stop talking and start acting, the program is going to go away, and that will be a tragedy. Thanks, David.
Okay. Thank you, Mitch. Okay, my fourth and final surprise speaker, and we are very grateful that Tony Candela is here. I mean, it takes courage to be here, and to listen to our. But I'm sure Tony is very very used to it.
But you got more.
Okay. Anyway, Tony, would you like to say a few words?
Boy, would I like to say a few words. You know, I literally have gone from the frying pan to the fire in the last 2 hours because one of my other jobs is to represent the department on the California State Guide Dog Board, and there was a debate in their session on the existence of the board, and I was guess which side I was. And now I feel like that was the frying pan. Now this is the fire. I don't know what is the best thing to say, except that, you know, I hear what you're all saying. The structures that we work within, have their natural limitations. And, how do you take to a public official like me saying to you that the type of actions that need to be taken, need to be at the structural level, and not necessarily, you know, California BEP doing, or how is it doing it, things of that nature. That's important too. But there's something very fundamentally needed in the overall way that these programs are run. And quite honestly, in the actual Randolph-Shepard Act itself, because the program is having a very difficult time being competitive, en masse, being competitive out there in the changing business environments. If you look at the kinds of resources that the government devotes to this program, compared to the need, compared to the amount of attention the program needs to have, how much it gets, not enough resources. So I think as you look toward action planning, it's very difficult for me to sit here and tell you that, you know, we all need more resources, but we definitely need a better way of doing business than what we have right now. So at its root, I think the problems this program is having require legislation at the federal level that would, of course, then translate into legislation at the state level to structure this program better than it is. Because what we're doing is we're fighting uphill battles. If you go after my program, all you end up doing is draining the resources down even more. Just to what we're doing is running the stand still. You have basically said we are running the stand still, and you've put it as a criticism. I'm going to say we're running the stand still, and I'm telling you that is an indication that we need structural change. Because if all your service providers are doing is running the stand still, something's got to change. Otherwise, we're going to go backwards. So my message is I hear you. I agree with you. But I encourage you to look at what the proper focus of attack is. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate that. before I turn this over to Roy Harmon, Roy's going to give us the report on how RSVC has done this year. That's one of the reasons why we're here as a group. As Tony said, that we need to look at the structure, to look at the future, and see how we can improve on it. And RSVC is going to be very dedicated and very active in working with CCB on legislation. We don't know precisely yet what we're going to do, but we are working with Jeff Tom especially, and with the legislative person from CCB, Frank. So anyway, Frank, by the way, is our guest speaker, as you noticed in the program, and Frank is going to talk about the you know, legislation and the process and things like that. So right now, I'd like to turn it over to Roy Harmon and have him give a report.
Okay, there you go. I'm glad that Tony said follow the money. That's exactly what. Yeah, that's what I heard. That's exactly what Suzanne Mitchell told us when we wrote to her about the problems here, is follow the money. There is a problem. By the way, my name's Roy Harmon. I have a rest area outside of Oceanside. Recently, over the past year, most of my regular truckers have known me as the box of chocolates. And unfortunately, there's equipment that is not repaired properly or has had to be taken out of my pocket, or it just isn't repaired at all. It's just sitting there empty. Nice thought. Thank you. Anyway, RSVC has been involved over the past year in a lot of activities. Some of you are aware of it. I'm preaching to the choir, of course. Those of you that are here have known what we've been involved in, and we've always asked for your support. Last April, we participated in Capital Days, which was very informal and very informative for us, because we had an opportunity to meet a couple of legislators who were very interested in supporting anything that we'd like to come forward with. One of the legislators has a granddaughter who's blind and is very interested in the Business Enterprise Program and what it can offer. I couldn't tell them exactly then what it offers, because it wasn't very much. It has changed quite a bit over the years. We participated also at the national level at NABM conferences, at RSVA luncheons. You know, we have participated all over the country. David and I and Tom Linker have all participated with all organizations. We don't really care what the organization is, just so it works with Randolph Shepherd Vendors, we are involved. David and I have had, and Tom as well, have had the opportunity to investigate over the past several years teaming partners that participate in these conventions as well. There are several out there. Some of them are very, very good. Some of them are not so good. You investigate to find out what's the best for you. And as California moves forward with the teaming partner situation, not only military dining, but in other facilities that may come up in our selections pretty soon, like the Jet Propulsion Laboratory,
These are all federal locations. We have a right to them, and I don't know why we have to go through all the legal stuff and all the paperwork that's there, but it's not right. This is our right to have these facilities, whether we have a teaming partner or not. We have my point person isn't here. Yeah, Deb Myers is not here. I'm her point person. She always yells that at me all the time, but she's killing me, you know. Those of you that were at the educational conference might remember her saying that to me. Stop it, Roy, you're killing me. And I the fly-in is a BEA coordinated activity. If there are some of you that may not know what the BEA is, it's the combination of all of the blind organizations, NIB, NABM, RSVA, RSVC, of course, because we're part of RSVA, ACB, NCSAB. Anybody have any more acronyms? Yeah. Going? ABC and ACB, of course. And this is a different approach to legislative contacts in Washington, D.C., because it is not like the legislative seminars that we go to or Capitol Days in California. This is strictly business enterprise program activities. And because I was the chairman of the National Wrist Area and Oasis Projects, I had an opportunity to meet with the Department of Transportation Commissioner in Washington, D.C., with a panel of vendors from all over the country. And it was very informative, and we did have an opportunity to persuade some different activity from where they were going. They were about to attack our rest areas again. This is an annual thing. For those of you in California know that, or maybe you don't know, over the past 6 years, it has been an ongoing event in Sacramento that they want to either close due to budget cuts, they claim, or privatize the rest areas throughout the state. And this has been going on every year. There's something on the books that wants to do this. And I have participated in almost all of the activities that have occurred in this area, and with support from the trucking associations and from oil companies and from other small businesses in the communities, we've gotten them turned back. And it's not easy to do, but anyway, one other thing is that we do have all of your emails, and you should be receiving the national magazine, the Vendor Scope. If you're not receiving it, please let us know, because it was paid for, so it should be there. Anything else?
Donations?
Oh, yeah, donations. Of course. Our memberships are very good. California, and we appreciate your support. And just to let you know that all of these activities that that the RSVC has been involved in have not come out of the donations that have come from you. We've used that for other activities such as lunch, and so you know we're not. Well, no, I don't drive anymore. I would appreciate your support, and we always need donations. There are battles that come up, like my national organization for the rest areas. I've been given $1,000 of just immediate service money from RSVA to help if I need it. I haven't. I dip in my own pocket when I have to. And so I really think that I know times are tough for all of us, but any kind of contribution would be certainly accepted and appreciated, and we would like to...
membership renewal starts in January.
Now,
don't hear from me.
Oh, I'm getting kibitz. Membership renewal starts in January, right? That's okay. And I would like to part with one final note to be on the positive side. On June 30th of this past year, a situation occurred that would have affected the rest areas in Southern California, the Valley Wells, as well as the Aliso Creek facility, because that's where we have vendors. It would have had a very big effect, and I would like to thank Director Sauer, Tony Candela, and Joanne Fleming for their immediate and quick action to save the contracts that were involved in this. They had been neglected, and I'm very appreciative, as well as the vendor out at Valley Wells, that we stayed in business. That's it.
Thank you, Roy. Okay, thank you, Roy. Our next speaker, Frank Welty. I've known Frank, I think, for 4, maybe perhaps 5 years. I have done several Washington fly-ins, and the first time I met Frank was when he was in charge of the California Council of the Blind group. I think there were probably 10 or 12 of us that went that year. And I was really impressed with Frank's organizational skills and his even-keel personality. And Frank is a very intelligent, a very likable person, and will be and is an excellent legislative representative from CCB. But before I introduce Frank, I want to steal something from Tom Linker. Yeah. Tom always had this analogy about the ball game. And in the seventh inning, sometimes the department will put in a new program manager or a new deputy director. There's always a change within the department. So in the seventh inning, at the bottom of the seventh inning, they say, wait a minute, vendors. Wait a minute, CVPC. We have to make some changes here. So let's start all over again. Let's start at 0-0 and just start the ball game all over again. And Tom said, well, lately it seemed like they're doing that, but also they're taking the battery out of the beeper ball. So our purpose, RSVC's purpose is, and working with CCB on legislative ideology and matters is like hopefully putting the battery back into the beeper ball to make the game more fair and more equitable. So right now I'd like to introduce Frank Welty, and please welcome him.
Well, David, and to all of you, I want to thank you for the delightful privilege of being here with you today. You know, it's been a while since I've attended an RSVC lunch. I think that I was at your inaugural lunch a few years ago when you revived the organization, and I'm not sure if I've been back since, and it's been far too long. Trust me, this is not going to, you'll see me much more often from now on. And by the way, how did you know that lasagna is one of my favorite foods? That was, hey, if they don't have pasta in heaven, I'm not going. So, hey, I'm married to an Italian. I'd better like pasta. And I'm also delighted to be here, because this is an opportunity for us to have a conversation. And Tony, I'm thrilled that you're here, because I thought this was just going to be a two-way conversation, but it's going to be a three-way conversation, and that's terrific. We're going to have a conversation between me as a representative of CCB and with all of you here as members and representatives of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California and the larger vendor community. And Tony, with the Department of Rehabilitation that and BEP that plays a pivotal role in ensuring the success of the Randolph Shepherd Vendor Program in California. I want to start by taking a bird's eye view, if you will, my view from the mountaintop of the future of vending in the state of California. If I could go into the future and see my dreams come true, I'd like to see the state of California with not just 160 or so vending locations, but perhaps 250 or 300 vending locations, so that there would be all the locations that we could possibly fill with the available human resources, that there would be opportunities for as many visually impaired Californians as wanted to start and succeed in a career in food service. I would love to see that happen. I would love to see not only opportunities in the BEP program, but I would love to see that become, for those that are interested, a springboard to other business career opportunities, not just limited to food service. But I would love to see that happen, where not only would we have all the food service entrepreneurial opportunities that could be needed here in the state of California, but also other business opportunities as well. The question is, how far are we from that dream? And the answer is, from where I sit, instead of looking on the horizon, but looking from the mountain down into the valley, and sometimes it looks like a really deep valley, I see a lot of challenges. And as I continue in my current occupation, and I continue my dialogue with the vendor community, I'm learning about more and more challenges every day. And it's frankly frightening. Mitch has already eloquently expressed the problems, and you all here know those problems firsthand of vendors trying very hard to do their best, but facing challenges of obtaining the support and resources that they need. Difficulty in opportunities for new locations. Difficulty in maintaining locations properly. And from Tony, I know you're challenged with structural issues that keep you from realizing your vision of a truly great BEP program. And that's the reality right now. But the question is, how do we get from the current reality to a future vision, a future reality in which we can all celebrate? And this is where I think we start with this three-way dialogue. First off, I suppose there are two ways that one could go about making change. One could go to war, or one could work together and cooperate. Now, war is a messy business. People get hurt, people get killed, and it wastes a lot of money. And in the end, even if somebody wins the war, everybody loses. So we don't want to go that way. War isn't the answer. Pointing fingers, getting angry, fighting isn't the answer if we can find better ways to do things. Now, there's certainly a time to fight. But as Winston Churchill said, better talk than fight. So what kind of things do we need to talk about? First, let me talk about the conversation between CCB and the vendor community. First off, you've already started the conversation with me by telling me and helping me learn about the BEB program, about the Randolph Shepherd Act, about the challenges that each of you face in your businesses, and I want you to continue to provide me with that information so that I can be a better informed representative of CCB in Sacramento. Please continue to tell me about how things work, how things don't work, and your thoughts on how we can make things work better. And that brings me to my second point, which is the value that we place on the vendor community's ability to help influence the governmental and legislative process. As David mentioned, I met David through our mutual involvement in the ACB Washington seminar. And I have to really commend the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California for the active support that you have given to our legislative efforts both in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento. You know, advocating with the state and federal government is a big job. We have 120 state legislators, and California has 55 members of Congress, by far the largest delegation of any state. And if it weren't for the help of members of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California participating in Capital Days in Sacramento and participating in the Washington Seminar, there's just no way we could do the kind of outreach to legislators that we need to do. We just wouldn't have enough people, enough feet on the ground walking the halls of Congress and the state capitol without your support. And believe me, that means a great deal to me, and I thank you very much. And you deserve to give yourselves a hand for that. But we need more of that. We need members of CCB and members of RSVC to work together to build what I like to call an army of advocates. And I want to tell you the role that you and RSVC can do in that. First off, get informed. I'm going to do a little straw poll here, and some of you may be a little embarrassed, but if you know who your member of the State Assembly, the State Senate, and the U.S. House of Representatives is, if you know who those three people are that represent you in your home district, clap your hands. Pretty good. But the next time I come here and I ask that question, and I will, I want everybody to clap your hands. Because that's where we start. How can you expect to influence your legislators if you don't know who they are? Right? So the first thing you can do is get informed. Find out who your legislators are. Second, find out what they're doing. If you have access to newspapers, and we're fortunate now that there are ways of getting access to newspapers, even if you're legally blind and totally blind, start following what your representatives are doing through the papers. Contact their offices and make sure that you get on their mailing list, whether you're getting their information through mailers in the mailbox or through email. If you can, check out their websites and keep tabs on what they're doing, what their positions are, what their points of view are, and then look for opportunities to actually meet with your legislators and with their staff members. You know, visit their offices. Find out when they're doing their community barbecues. Show up. Get to where they recognize your face so that when that way... Because a lot of legislators, even those that may not agree with you politically per se, are human beings. And personal stories touch hearts, even the hearts of legislators. It's one thing when you're talking, if you're a legislator and you're going through a list of line items in a budget that you're trying to balance, and it's all numbers. But it's different when those numbers turn into faces. When a legislator is thinking, this isn't just a program. This is Hazel Harmon. This is Dave Hanlon. You know, this is all of each of you. You know, when wouldn't it be great if every legislator in the state of California and every California representative in Washington, D.C. knew one of you by name? Would that be powerful or what? You can do that. Second, you can inform each other. You know, some of you are probably policy wonks. I mean, you know the regulations. You've been around the program for years. You know, you could cite me the law chapter and verse better than I ever will. But that's not everybody, I'm sure. And especially those members of the vendor community who aren't here today. Share your knowledge with those around you. And also find out what their situations are. You know, I would assume that you have the ability to have the names, to know the names of every vendor in the state of California. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you, if I were to ask, and I won't because we don't have time, if I were to ask, if I had a list of those names and I were to go through and say, how's John doing? Where is he work? You know, where's his business? How big is his? Is it a snack stand? Is it a cafeteria? And how's it going? You know, and could you do that if we were to put our heads together in this room? Could we be aware of the status and the problems of every vendor in California?
We will be in about 4 months.
Good. I think that's so important. I think we need to think of ourselves not just as individual entrepreneurs, but I think we need to see ourselves as a community of vendors looking out for each other's back. You know, we need and being united and trying to work to make things better and being aware of what the problems are, not just at the individual level, but really by communicating with each other, try to see where are those structural programs that Tony talked about? I mean, where are the structural problems? You know, it's one thing if you're just thinking, you know, gee, I didn't get my vending machines repaired in a timely manner. But when you start communicating with others, you're going to see patterns. You're going to say maybe 20 people aren't getting their machines repaired in a timely manner. And then you can ask, well, gee, why aren't these 20 people getting their machines in a timely manner? And you can start connecting dots and really getting a handle on where the problems are. And then when you have that information, you can come back to us in CCB and say, here's the problems. Here's the number of vendors who are having these problems, and here's what we think needs to change in the systems to resolve those problems. And we can then work together based on the sound information that you're providing to us in CCB to use any leverage we can bring to make those changes in your behalf. And Tony, I want to bring you back into the discussion here because it doesn't have to be an adversarial thing. We can be partners in these changes as long as we want to work together and make those changes. We can tell you, or we can say the truth. We can speak the truth to power that you might want to say, but you can't because of where you are. But we can say the things that you wish you could say. Furthermore, we can be your eyes and ears. You know, you can't be in every office or in every stand or in every, you know, following every representative of the BEP around. You know, you don't have the personnel to do that kind of oversight. But you can have 120, 130 pairs of eyes and ears to let you see clearly exactly what's going on in the program, uncensored, unfiltered. And you can get the straight story through a relationship with the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. And in exchange for that, you can also inform us to help us more clearly understand those structural difficulties that you alluded to. You know, of course, from the vendor standpoint, a machine doesn't get fixed, and you just think, this machine doesn't get fixed. What's the matter with these people not getting my machine fixed? And you're in a position to give the vending community and the CCB community the specific feedback as to what are those structural problems that are keeping you from doing what you want to do, because you want to fix those machines as we want them to get those machines fixed. So we can have a dialogue to find out exactly what needs to be fixed. And I don't just mean machines here, of course. I mean systems. And then we can all work together to fix those systems. I want to give you another piece of vision here. Imagine representatives from CCB, representatives from the RSVC, and representatives from BEP going up to the Capitol together and talking to the legislators with a united voice to make the Randolph Shepherd Vendor Program in California the best that the country has ever seen. We can do that. We only need two things. Well, maybe three things. First, we need good faith. You know, believe that everybody it really is trying to do the best they know how. Second, be honest with each other and be willing to tell the truth and hear the truth. And third, let's cooperate and work hard together. We can do this. And I'm telling you that as the Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs for the California Council of the Blind, that I am committed to playing the role that I can to bring about this vision, and I hope that you all here will join me in that. Thank you for having me today. Yes.
Hey, thank you very much, Frank. And listen, we have a nice little present for you. We always do this for our speakers. We have a Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America alarm clock, talking alarm clock.
Ooh, I could use that.
Okay. Okay. Thanks again, Frank. We really appreciate your words and your insight. Listen, does anybody have any questions? We have a little bit of time for questions. Or
just raise your hand and I'll
observations or
roam
whatever.
Over to you. Oh, here, I've got Mitch. Hold on.
Thanks, David. Roy. I wanted to offer some caution. And I guess it's in response to Tony's comments about the need for structural change. And it wasn't clear to me whether Tony was referring to in the BEP statutes in California or on the national level. Let me address the problem on the national level, though. As we all know, we are being pursued by NISH and by Ability One. I had a conversation 2 weeks ago with Rick Cantu, who expressed to me by phone some serious concerns, and he reminded me of the situation at Fort Polk, where a vendor lost about half of his facility on that particular base to Ability One. If we consider opening up or amending the existing federal law, we run the other risk, and that risk is losing what we have. So I would be very interested if Tony, you're referring to structural change in the existing Randolph Shepherd statute. I'd be interested in hearing what changes you would propose, but I would also caution that any time you open up a critical piece of legislation for amendment and for any kind of change, you have the very strong probability that the folks who want to change it to their way, to their advantage, will step in and seize the opportunity and make it something that we don't want. So in this day and age, we have to be extremely cautious about any considered opening of the existing statute.
Thank you, Mitch. Anyone else? Oh, Tony wants to comment. Hold on.
Well, this is the panel discussion. This is a tough one because on the one hand, the current Randolph Shepherd structure from the top on down has limitations to it. It is under attack from different corners. Some because of the very essence of what the program means and how that is regarded in today's business environment, especially with regard to the Randolph Shepherd priority itself, which is the most sacred thing of everything that we need to guard with regard to the Randolph Shepherd Act and the state equivalents all around this country. That very priority is causing a lot of the burrs in the saddles out there that are making people come after us. So the question is, how to deal with some of these types of things without causing so much vulnerability to the system that we actually undo ourselves in the process. How to do an honest assessment of this program, where it sits inside of the governmental structure, where the program sits in the business world, what the competition is doing to us, how we're reacting to it, what are our capabilities to react to the competition, how have things changed over the years that we haven't adjusted to, or when we try to, that we're having a devil of a time adjusting to, what's wrong? And what needs to be fixed, and how to do all that, and at the same time overcome the fear that that Mitch so aptly expressed of the risk of undoing ourselves completely by opening up the law. Yes, I indeed was talking about this at the highest of levels. I honestly think the structural changes that are needed are going to have to be at the highest of levels. Our challenge is to figure out how to fix what's making us less competitive. What's making people upset with us? What's making them come after us? These are real things that are happening here. And how as time has gone on, and I'm observing this more and more and more, especially at the federal level, really at the federal level, they are finding more and more devious and diabolical and quite frankly injurious ways to push us out. I'm dealing with the military on this side. I'm dealing with the GSA on that side. And we have got to be very, very honest about what we are facing. And there will come a point where we're going to have to say to ourselves, are we willing to take a risk, or are we simply going to just hunker down and just fight to keep what we've got? There will come a time when we're going to have to make that choice. So, quite honestly, I don't know the answer right now, but quite clearly, we must define this problem out completely so we can start to get on top of it. Otherwise, in effect, what we're doing is we're just hiding, we're hunkering, we're holding on for dear life, and the rest of the world is pounding at the door. And so that's why we must be honest about what we're facing so we can strategize how we're going to deal with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. I think Jeff Tom has something.
Yeah, I want to. There really are a lot of state issues, I think, that must be dealt with. And I'm not talking about specific cases, but general cases. So I'm going to limit myself to one. And I'm going to do so because I brought it to the attention of Deb Meyer several years ago. And so it's not a sort of a Johnny-come-lately type of issue. One of the positive things that came out of SB 105, and Tony's been a part of it, is the counselor training that has occurred. Well, unfortunately, to my knowledge anyway, and if it has been, it hasn't been of any effect, there's been no similar client services training for BECs. BECs, it seems to me, ought to be doing two things. One, they ought to be making sure that vendors follow the rules and that they do what they're required to do under BEP statutes and regulations. That they are sometimes doing. The other thing they ought to be doing is trying to help vendors maximize their potential as vendors. That, I don't hear any reports of them ever doing. Now, Deb Meyer may be trying to do that, but she shouldn't have to be doing all that. The BECs are the first line of contact. They are, in from all the anecdotal evidence I've ever heard, a total waste of time in almost every case. And the absence of client service training so that those folks know not only the substance of their job, but who they're supposed to serve, is abominable. Will you commit to having client service training? And I've heard, by the way, that yes, they may reclassify these people to get, a different classification. Well, it doesn't matter who you have in the class if they don't know who they're serving.
First of all, thank you, Jeff, for the comments. I think I have two different lines of response. The first line of response is along the lines of, what do we do about when we feel that personnel are not performing as well as they ought to, not doing the job that people think they ought to be doing? And often the information is skewed toward the negative. So it's very hard to argue these kind of things. So I won't try. But it's very hard to even answer the questions sometimes, because what you've just been hit with is something that basically would knock the wind out of anybody. You've just been hit with a rather bad report on how staff behaves, what we haven't heard, you know, what's wrong. We haven't heard a single thing about what's right, because nobody seems to know what's right. But I assure you there's also a lot of what's right mixed in with the things that are wrong. So I think my first line of response is fair and balanced. When we're in a room like this, we're in an organization of advocates. We're in a consumerism-driven place here. So of course you know, the challenges need to be put out there, and it's up to me to deal with those challenges. So I'm doing that. Now, having said all that, and that's just a plea for fair and balanced. Otherwise, everything that Frank just said kind of goes out the window. We're supposed to work together, huh? Okay, so let's work together, fair and balanced. Number one, here's my answer though to what Jeff actually said. I think that the staffing pattern at DOR for the BEP program, for especially for those field staff, those BECs, I think that staffing pattern is a mess. I think that this is a structural issue. It's a civil service issue. There's a lot of things, but I just put that in a structural issue. So, more training for those BECs, reorienting them to focus on certain things that we really want them to do, and maybe not some other things, is definitely something we've already begun to do. We're going to be doing more of it. But we clearly see that the structure lends itself to a lot of the things that go wrong. It's impossible to recruit new BECs. We haven't filled a BEC position in the field in about 3 years. Because the structure, the civil service system, is very, very difficult to deal with regard to that position. So we have both to train those that exist now and to help them to do their jobs as best as possible. And they do a lot of good things that don't get mentioned in this type of setting. But we also have to deal with the fact is that if you want good human resources, good personnel, you need a system and structure that helps you to develop that too. So we have this going on both fronts. I continue to assure you we'll make more and more improvements as time goes on. Because Jeff is right. Jeff is right. There's stuff that's wrong. I just want to make sure you know there's also stuff that's right. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Tony. I think Roy has the other microphone. Hold on.
Yeah, I do. I wanted to ask Tony, or make a statement, of course. Last April, two resolutions were passed by CCB, and Director Sauer did respond to them in the Blind Californian, and he claimed that, as far as he knows, everything is sweet and rosy for everybody. The one issue, of course, is the financial reporting to the CVPC and the members of the BEP. This is not occurring. And so what we need to do is find out what we can do to make sure that Director Sauer is getting the right information, that this is not occurring. We get a blank sheet of paper almost from Deb Myers. You participate in the CVPC meetings. You see there are all these financial reports that are supposedly distributed, which aren't. You know, she reads from a sheet of paper what she wants us to hear, and it's not right. We've been asking for this. It's in the law. Why can't you follow? Why can't we depend on the department to follow the law? You ask us to follow the law. You know.
He's through. Tony.
We will endeavor to follow the law. I promise you. We got some new fiscal management software coming online, things like that, that will make it easier to actually get the information that you want, because sometimes this information in an antiquated system is hard to get. The key thing to doing this stuff is to make sure that you can actually, in the gazillion things that you're doing every day, that you can do all these tasks and get them done. So we will follow the law. We will try to get the information that the law requires. The thing that we try to give the vendors is a sense of the health of the trust fund. a sense of the health of the vending machine fund, and a sense of the dollars that are allocated to the program, the federal dollars. And then we try to give the vendors a sense of what can we afford to buy today, how much money is being used up for, you know, for things like repair contracts and stuff like that. You know, essentially giving you a sense of what kind of forward movement can the program make today based on the money we have today, and what are we doing about making sure that we get healthier and healthier financially. And so that you can have a sense of security, A, that we're running the program right, and B, that we're actually moving it forward and we're not sliding backward. But if we were sliding backward, then you, as we have told you in the past, when we have been sliding backward, you need to know that, because now we're into a different mission. We're into a mission of fixing what's wrong and getting forward movement again. So those are the kind of things that we try to give you. I think you need to come away with that knowledge. The form that it's taking, it may take this form or that form, this report or that kind of report, but you need to know the health, the financial health of your program, because you're a stakeholder. We will follow the law. Thank you.
Okay. Let's have...
As soon as possible.
Yeah. We are just about
good
finished.
Timing.
Let's have maybe five more minutes or eight more minutes or whatever, maybe one or two more comments or questions, but I wanted to make the comment that... we are in desperate need, Tony, of you being aware that micromanagement of our set-aside fee and equipment repair, it is extremely serious. I mean, we are talking tens and tens of vendors, probably 40 or 50 vendors that are in desperate need of vending machines, of equipment repairs, and we can't see why there's such a delay, and I mean a severe delay. And you know, the program manager has claimed that we have $500,000 in our set-aside fee. Why can't we spend that money? What is the delay, especially in vending machines? There's the number of vendors that need vending machine repairs, new machines, and, of course, you want to hear Paul Patchy again? I mean, how many times have you heard Paul Patchy? That really does make us very, very upset and very angry, especially with Paul Patchy. That's inexcusable.
Okay. Oh, it's Tony's turn.
Here we go.
I have this sixth sense about when it's my turn. I don't have the complete answer to what the heck has been going on with all this stuff. David is completely right. We have made improvements in our financial situation, and we have the money. I know some of what happened. I mean, some of what happened had to do with what happened with the state of California, when we had all the, you know, the fiscal crisis, budgetary freezes and the state controller's office not doing this, and, you know, IOUs going out and all that stuff. They also froze like all new contract making. And so, and that now, right smack in the middle of that, we have all the stimulus money coming into the state. That has effectively doubled the workload of all of the administrative staff, especially in DOR and any other entity that's receiving stimulus money. Because we got huge amounts of money coming in, thanks to President Obama. That's the good news. The bad news is we've got to actually properly manage this money. So contracts and procurement staff have been doubling up on all of the work they're doing. State controller caused major delays. Some of why this the money is not being spent to do the repairs, to buy the machines, is because we haven't had contracts renewed. Now we're instructing our staff that we figured out that they can go out and get spot contracts and things of that nature to take care of some of this. You know, there's another issue David mentioned about micromanaging all this stuff. I know that there are things that we have been asked to do. We actually finally have a staff member on board. Her name is Cheryl, who's a different Cheryl from the one that some of you knew used to be with us. This new Cheryl is already on board, starting to work on vending machines, contracted. She'll get into the notion of machine repair in general. And so the good news, I want to leave you with some positive, is although we've been in this what looks like a drought for so long, things are finally starting to pop out. The flowers are starting to pop out a little bit. We're starting to get the contracts people back on board. They're coming out from under that big weight of the stimulus money slowly as they get those projects taken care of. We have the money. We're back in business. The state itself is back in business. God knows for, you know, when the next bad thing is going to happen. But we're functioning normally again. The state controller's office is caught up. Deb is one or two staff members away from completely refilling the staff that she needs in central office to function properly. And she's doing it with people in job classifications that are the right ones to get the right qualifications of people into those jobs. And so while you have seen all this backsliding going on, there's been, in the middle of all this stuff we've been going through, a lot of forward movement to get the systems in place. And okay. So that's the good news. The good news is there's hope. And we will try not to neglect this machine repair stuff anymore.
Okay, let's
thank
take.
You.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Let's take one more question, and then we're going to have to wrap it up here.
Oh wait, Joe Murphy. I've got Joe over here.
Speaking of something positive, maybe Tony can comment on is recently we heard that the trust fund the BEP runs off of the vending machine trust fund has now become insulated from budget. So that maybe you can speak to this. I don't have all the actual details, but if the state doesn't have a budget in July, we can still spend our money. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so for the most part. When the state goes into one of its freezes, what it basically says is you can't spend state general fund. That's just the state money. But our federal dollars that we get are matched by trust fund dollars. So we seem to have managed to get free of those types of freezes. So generally speaking, the answer, Joe, is yeah. I don't think that we're going to get caught in some of those traps. Now, when the surrounding structure around you ain't functioning, like if there's no contracts to be had, then what the hell do we have to spend the money on? But we can get everything together all in one piece. But yes, Joe, we at least have achieved a little bit of insulation from some of the craziness that seems to happen in the state.
There you go.
Great.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay, now, listen, is there anyone in the room that worked on the White Cane law?
Or White Cane Day? Did any of you go to White Cane Day?
No. Oh. Who worked on the White Cane law? The law that's...
Now, Gina, I think that law is like 100 years old.
Well, now, listen, I could have worked on
Kathy
it.
Oh, Kathy worked on it. No, Kathy didn't work on it.
Well, is everybody aware of what the White Cane Law is?
No.
Okay, hold up your hand if you don't know. Hold up your hand if you do know.
Tony knows.
Tony, tell me.
I'm hoping this is
the law that basically is for the pedestrian safety of people using white canes. So that's
exactly
you know, so
right.
So it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how drunk you are, how crazy you are. If you step out in front of a car and they hit you, they get sued.
Yeah, if you got
that's
your cane.
That's my interpretation.
Got your cane.
Actually, what it is it's a misdemeanor, and it's punishable by imprisonment of the county jail, not exceeding 6 months, or a fine of $1,000. So use your canes, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When we go to conventions in Las Vegas, that's the best place to use your cane is in Las Vegas. People clear the path for you. You know? Most of the time, yeah, most of the time.
Unless you're crossing diagonally.
Well, while Gina's getting another gift, let me remind you that RSVA is having their annual Sagebrush Convention. It's the last week in January. And one thing for you vendors who are interested in military installations or teaming partners, Cantu Services is offering a training day during that week. So we'll all get the vendor scope. Pay attention to the vendor scope. It's in the schedule there. And they're going to give it's going to be vendors from all over the nation. And I think you might find that training really good.
I think they're on the table.
funny.
I'd like to thank all of you for coming. We really appreciate you all being here. And Hazel did mention about the Sagebrush Convention coming up in Las Vegas. The room rate's going to be $49 a night. Yeah, so that's going to be pretty cool. And it's going to start on a Monday and finish on a Friday. So, you know, it is during the work week, but it's a good time to go. And we're hoping that Tony Candela and Doug Meyer might be able to go to represent California.
Are you there?
Tony said he'd look into that, I hope.
Anyway, thank you all for coming. Goodbye, everybody. Love you. Mean it.